Beckman are Nitro Funny Car Champions this weekend here at Summit Racing Equipment Motorsports Park. Jack defeated Robert Height in the final round in dramatic fashion. As you all saw, his car exploded in the lights.
Why you got to bring that up?
Well, it was noteworthy. Jack's third consecutive final round of the last three races. His last win came in Englishtown, which was two races ago. So I guess, Jack, the leadoff question will be, there's this mystique, this aura about funny car drivers. You're a big history of the sport. Moments like this are the things that make the kids in the grandstands think that you're superheroes out there. So talk about not surviving the blast, but talk about kind of what the after effect of this is.
I just want to go on record saying I didn't mean to do that, okay, just so everybody else, because Schumacher eventually is going to hear this interview. Yeah, it's, boy, you want to talk about the gamut of emotions in 0.2 seconds. It's boom, wind line, uh-oh, fire. And there's not enough time to think about it. People say, did you get nervous in there? Yeah, right when the engine started, I got nervous, but when something like that happens, it's not like driving down the freeway and a car spin out next to you and you almost hit him, and then 3 seconds later you go into that fight or flight mode and you feel that adrenaline deal. Because we are so focused here, when something like that happens, I have got a set of emergency procedures. It's chutes, brake lever, fire bottles, fuel, and you just program yourself to do that, and you make sure you don't pull over if you're sliding in your own oil. So I always tug the brake, it wasn't, I got right over there. And then you're so relieved that you get out of the car in one piece, there's really not that sense of horror that you would have if you were driving a street vehicle there. But again, I don't want to do that. It's just part of the job. You know, you go swimming with the sharks once in a while, a great white's going to surface.
Talk to me about how consistent this race car has been. It was not a world-beating elapsed time car, but you marched through the field.
Yeah, we were consistently a bit off there. And the problem is it was swallowing up our tune-up changes. Well, for the semis, we threw a different supercharger on it. We threw a different short block in it, and it just ate them up. It just didn't respond to it. So we threw some timing at it for the final round. And the problem is you don't have time in 45 minutes to diagnose why is our car not listening to us. So what I'd like to do officially is retire that car now. That thing's got close to 700 runs on the rear end. It's got 159 on the front half, which is more than we typically go. We've got a car upstairs with 30 runs on it. We're going to unload and test it tomorrow. And I have a feeling it's going to make a difference. I have a feeling it's going to tune everything up just a little bit more. So I don't know that we're going to spend a whole lot of time soul searching about why we struggled here because we left with the trophy. You always should look at that stuff. But I think we're going to dive in with this brand new race car and figure out what it needs.
One last question before I open it up. Obviously, this was a newly assembled team for this year. Took a little bit of time to get the locomotive up to speed, but it sure seems like it's working good now.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times you just, John Force in the mid-90s just dominated. But if you truly look at the stories there, he smoked the tires a lot. The car in the other lane smoked the tires before him. You know, so what happens when you start running consistent is the other cars know that they have to step up a little. And I think we just enjoyed a little bit of that for the last couple weekends. Is we weren't spectacular, but our car went to the finish line pretty consistently. And folks knew they had to step up. And when I say we weren't spectacular, recognize I'm talking about 0.1 seconds off of where we'd like to be, which is not even a blink of an eye, but we need to pick that up. But I have every confidence that we will pick that up. And listen, if it doesn't happen tomorrow, we're going to keep testing this thing. We want to win some more races, and we want to win the championship, which means by Indy, we have to have a combination that listens to us. But between now and then, they're giving a trophy away every weekend.
Questions?
Yes.
Stan Creekmore.
Ethel Merman today.
Yes.
How will you celebrate on Wednesday, which is your 51st birthday?
Next question, please. You know what? I mean, honest to goodness, and I'm not saying this to be humble, I'm a pretty boring guy. I have an awesome job. I kind of like being by myself sometimes, whether it's in the garage or out surfing. And I got a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old. I just love spending time with my kids. I didn't know it was going to be that good being a dad, and I got two great kids. I'm just going to go home and be dad. And my wife, Jenna, asked me last night, she says, what do you want to do? I said, we don't have to do anything. It's not a big deal to me. It's another day. I'm glad I'm still here. I'm 14 years past my cancer. That's like extended play. Why do I need to go celebrate my birthday? You know what I mean? Look what I got to do today. I'm just going to be with my family. Okay. She better be listening to this. you can come over if you want on my birthday. We can go to dinner together or something.
Thank you very much. I greatly appreciate it.
I didn't mean in that sort of way. I just meant we could celebrate.
I understand. Everyone pretty much didn't like the right lane.
Left lane. Didn't like the left lane.
Left lane.
Correct.
Right. Didn't like the left lane. But yet, there you are.
It's amazing. It's 30 foot wide, 1,000 foot long and straight, just like the right lane. You know, a lot of times I think it's monkey see, monkey do. You watch the dragsters. Somebody's going to be first pair, and one of those cars has lane choice. They got to make a decision. Well, and then the cars a couple cars back go, well, okay, that car made it, that car doesn't. If we go in the lane where the car that smoked the tires was and we smoked the tires, we look foolish. Let's go in that lane. And people just kind of emulate what the people in front of them have done. We ran left lane first round because we didn't have lane choice. And we would have taken right lane if we had lane choice. But I think yesterday it was the other way around, which tells me how good the track crew is here. They picked up that left lane, or picked up that right lane and made it where the crew chiefs wanted to be there today. So we had lane choice one time in the second round. We decided to stay there. And fortunately for us, we didn't have to worry about it the last two rounds because we weren't the quicker of the two cars. As far as what? Yes. One of them you have to look that way for the Christmas tree. The other one you have to look that way. You know, listen, I taught 7,000 students. You get people that get so hung up in superstition and this crazy stuff. I got to stage last. I got to stage first. I prefer the right lane. I prefer the left lane. The moment you start getting into that mindset, you got one strike against you if you didn't get what you want. Doesn't make any difference. And here's the thing. I don't ever have any input on lane choice. Literally makes no difference to me. I follow the tow vehicle up there.
Check, please.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Torrance.
Jack, congratulations. If there are no more questions, you're free to go.
Thank you, guys. You are free? Yes. Is there a seat?